Decebalus was a young prince with an aging father and the look of a man who intends to sort the world to suit himself. He had a heavy, straight brow and a square jaw, with curling hair, a brown beard, and a mouth half hidden under a moustache. He wore a richly embroidered tunic, loose breeches, fawn-skin boots, and a cap made of a red fox's fur against the cold of the mountain winter. A gold bracelet of many loops, ending in horned beasts' heads, covered most of his left arm. His brother Diegis sat to his left, watching silently but with a certain cat-like interest. The German regarded them unmoved.
"It is all that we can spare. We are not many after the last war, and I have no intention of tempting another one in my own hunting runs. The last one served its purpose, and the Romans have stayed out of the free lands. I brought you these to show you how the Romans fight, not to be spear fodder, as we agreed."
Ranvig, chieftain of the Semnones, lords of the German free lands, was not as finely dressed as the Dacian prince, but his shirt, breeches, and wolfskin cloak were of suitable quality for a chieftain, and he wore a heavy gold torque around his neck. His pale hair spilled over his shoulders in two thick plaits, rather than twisted into a knot at the side of his head in the fashion of his inherited tribe. Ranvig had been of the Nicretes before they had gone down before Rome, and their remnants scattered to the Semnone lands. Afterward, Niall Sigmundson of the Semnones had been taken by Rome. The council and the remaining kindred, two of whom sat beside him now, had spoken for Ranvig to lead them, and if they wanted him, they had been told to take him as he was. He had an odd, crooked face, his blue eyes set slightly askew, and his front teeth also crooked, which gave him a wolf-like aspect. When he smiled, which he was not doing at the moment, his mouth slanted up farther on one side than the other. Decebalus wondered how much further he could push him. The Semnone lands were a substantial distance to the west, north of the Rhenus. It was not somewhere he could express his displeasure at the end of a spear. A slave appeared with a pitcher and five silver cups, and Decebalus nodded at her to fill them. It was Roman wine, very good, and not cut with water as the effete populace in Rome drank it. He took a sip and waited as Ranvig inspected his cup, possibly to see if there was anything else in it. There wasn't. That would have served no purpose.
"We also agreed that you would see that your kinsman, the Quadi, and the Marcomanni give us their support," Decebalus said.
Ranvig contemplated him for a long moment.
"The warlord misremembers. I said that we would urge them not to help Rome against you."
"They are one and the same thing."
"They are not!"
Arni snapped. He half rose from his chair beside Ranvig and glowered at Decebalus. Ranvig gave Arni a look, and he subsided.
"Nor will I trade more men for the Dacian bride that Durus the king offered me last night," Ranvig said. "I have a wife."
"Durus is old, and he drinks,"
Decebalus grinned.
"I am keeping my sister to persuade the Getae to finalize our confederation. Although there is a younger one. She is only 10. But such an alliance would not be a bad thing. We will be a great empire, greater than Rome."
"No."
Ranvig considered that a permanent alliance with Decebalus would be an appallingly bad thing. He was glad that he was not the king of the Getae, who were related to the Dacians and were going to be persuaded one way or the other.
"If the free lands wished to be part of an empire, we would not have fought Rome," Arni said,
and Ranvig didn't quiet him this time. Decebalus considered. He had got what he thought he would, which was the neutrality of the Semnones' eastward relatives, and a tactical lesson in Roman armor, weapons, and maneuvers to supplement what he had gleaned from Roman deserters who had crossed the river into Dacia fleeing punishment or boredom.
"I could keep your men here," he suggested. "It would be easier."